A pastor expects members to respect him. This means they cannot challenge or question him, but just do what he says. Do you agree with this approach to pastoring? Give reasons for your answer. If the questioner is sincere and genuine, he really wanted to find out why certain things are done in the church and why certain things are not done in the church. Can you please tell me why you interpret this particular Bible verse in this manner? Is there another interpretation? Now, these are all legitimate questions that any and every church member has every right to ask. And the Bible did teach us to always be ready to give an answer to everything that we believe in. And since this is a Christian church, everything in this church ought to be done according to the Holy Bible. And when this church member feels that it is not done the way that it should be, or if it is done the way that it is and he is not certain and he wants to find out for clarification, therefore it is his duty and his right as a member to ask. Now, if they ask with a very facetious manner and with a hidden agenda to undermine his authority, now that kind of questions is deadly and dangerous and should not be asked. Sometimes we receive emails from strangers, people that I do not know. I will usually ask them whether they are a member of Calvary Pandan. If they are not a member of Calvary Pandan, I usually ask more questions to find out whether they are Christians or not. Because out there in the world, I'm sure you know that whatever you write or say, people can take it out of context. And once they start misquoting you, taking out of context and start spreading, you can get into trouble. And so you find out and be very mindful and careful and do your due diligence. Because these things are very common nowadays with email, with WhatsApp, so many ways to communicate now. And sometimes once you put something on pen or paper and you send it out, it's very, very difficult for you to undo what you have done. So you've got to be very judicious, very wise, and very careful. So a pastor must expect members to ask questions. To ask questions is not a show of disrespect. It simply means they want to find out and want to understand more. And it is our duty as a pastor who is also a shepherd of the flock to educate, so that when church members do what you tell them to do, they do so with a conviction and they do not do it blindly because pastors say so. That kind of obedience is the worst kind of obedience because it's blind loyalty. And once the pastor is not around, they will stop doing it because it's not a conviction. Or once the new pastor comes, they're not going to do it again because it's not a conviction, because they believe it is right. What we do in Pandan is this. At the BOE level, we make a decision. And once the decision is made, we share it with the deacons at the session meeting. We explain to them why certain things are done a certain manner with biblical support. And if there are any questions, we will ask them to please raise it. And we will try our best to answer and to clarify until all deacons are clear and convicted that what we ask them to do for the rest of the church, they also agree 100%. And then once they are all convinced, then they will share it with their respective committee members, because all of them are overseers of their respective ministries. All ministries in the church must always be under the guidance and leadership of a session member, so that at every session meeting, all ministries will be reported on to make sure that we know the problems, the progress, or the issues involved. That is non-negotiable. And so once they are convinced and convicted, they will share with the committee members. And if any committee members were to ask them the rationale behind it, they must share it with them as well, what we have shared with them at session level, so that with the biblical explanation, the whole committee will also be convicted to do the right thing. And so now you have all the elders, all the deacons, and all the committee members, which basically represent all the leaders of the church, are all in agreement to this particular issue. And then you share it with the whole congregation. And then you explain to them the rationale why. Then everyone would understand from the biblical perspective why this new issue is now made and understood in this manner. And so this is what we try to do time and time again. And a good example would be the VPP issue that belongs to the arena of the Board of Elders because it's doctrinal. And once we deliberated, argued, we understood from biblical perspective, we filtered it down to the session, to the deacons, and then to the whole congregation. So a pastor is supposed to not lord over the flock. And if the flock were to ask you questions, you must always permit them and to help them and guide them. And they have every right sometimes to even challenge whatever decision that you have made, which they feel it's unbiblical. And we are not perfect. And sometimes we do make mistakes. And we must apologize and admit that we have done wrong, we have taught incorrectly. And thank you very much for making it known to us. And I'm very happy to retract what I have taught wrongly. And now I will correct it so that everyone will not be taught incorrectly. Okay, so that is what we must do. Number two, how should the husband be a servant of all at home to his wife and his children if he's supposed to be the head of the house? Now, remember what we said during the message. It doesn't mean that you relinquish all your duties and responsibilities. So as elders and as pastors, we are the spiritual head, but at the same time, we are servants of all. It doesn't mean that we do not teach, we do not exercise church discipline when there are things that are done incorrectly by church members. We still have to do all these things, just that our own personal ideas, our own personal preferences, our personal wants, we lay them all aside. Same with the father in the house. It's not what you want. It's always what is best for your wife's spiritual well-being, what is best for your children's well-being. You do not simply do it because I want to, because I like to. You like to play tennis, your children, they say, we want to go for the church fellowship. You go to church fellowship. You don't drag them along with you and play tennis. Because I want to. I'm the head of the house, you just obey. It simply means your own personal preferences, your own personal rights and prejudices all must be laid aside. And you fulfill and do the duty in what you're supposed to do as the head of the house to protect and to guard and to provide for your family a biblical spiritual environment for all of them to grow in. Your wife must be more spiritual and more mature after marrying you, not less. That's why sometimes when I get questions like husbands complaining and said, well, my wife is this and that, won't listen to me, and then like to do this and like to do that and so on, complaining as if the wife is always the wrong party. And so I answer the question in this manner. I'm sure she was not like this when she married you, otherwise you probably would not marry her. And assuming from your questions, you may have been married for 20, 30 years and now she ended up like this. And so now you're complaining that she has become like this. And so my question to him is, the problem is not your wife, the problem is you. What did you do to her from the day you married her to now that made her to become like this? Right? You're the head of the house. Her spiritual well-being is your responsibility. And you did not encourage her, you did not pray with her, you did not help her to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. After marrying you, she was very well brought up under the care of her parents. And now the father gave her over to you on your wedding day, trusting in you to help her continue to grow spiritually. And now after 20 years marrying you, all you do is to complain because she's like this. You made her become like this. And therefore, you are responsible for what you have done to your poor wife. So please go and apologize to her and tell her, I will want to be a better husband to you and I am sorry. Correct, wives? Correct, huh? Yes? Yes, huh? You see, all the wives agree. Which is true. You are the head. You want to be head and what? Head and not do anything? Head means you are in charge of everyone's spiritual well-being. And your children, when they grow up, they are not believers. Whose fault is it? Your fault. They are in your care from birth. And you do not bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. It's your responsibility that you have failed to do in their lives. Why do you think God gave us in the qualifications of an elder if he cannot take care of his household? He cannot be an elder. He can be a very good teacher of God. He can be all these things that are listed there, except that his household is a problem. His children are rebellious. His children are disrespectful. He cannot be an elder, period. Why? Because the Bible says if he cannot take care of his own family, which is a family of four or five or six people, how is he going to look after God's family, which is usually more than that? Right? 100, 200, 300, 400. If you can't even look after four or five, you'd expect him to look after 300, 400? Obviously not. So God is never wrong. You follow the qualifications and you follow it without changing. You have to. The moment you diminish any one of those qualifications, you might as well throw the whole list out the window. You cannot pick and choose which one is to be made an exception. God is never wrong. Please understand this. Okay, so you can still be the head as you are a servant. It's basically your own personal preferences and your own rights and likes and dislikes. Your focus is a spiritual head, and that you must do at all costs as the head of the house. And in terms of servant to your wife and to your children, your personal preferences, you give them up. Number three, do you agree that all your relationships depend on your relationship with God in Christ? The answer obviously is yes. Because you are born again. The moment you are born again, you're a spiritual person. And as a spiritual person, your relationship with God is key. You want to have a good relationship with every human being on earth. It all hinges on your walk with God. If your walk with God is healthy, strong, and burning bright and hot, guarantee you'll be very patient, you'll be very understanding, you'll be very compassionate, you'll be very long-suffering. You will have all the fruit of the Holy Spirit burning brightly in your life. And with that, your relationship with everyone will be biblical and wonderful. And it all depends on your relationship with God in Christ. You're spiritual. You're born again. If the latter is not right, that is biblical, then all other relationships will be wrong in God's sight. That will probably be true. When you are not right with God, that means what? You are regarding iniquity in your heart. Psalm 66 verse 18 made it clear. If you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. Your prayers are rendered null and void. Your worship will be useless. In other words, you are basically rendered spiritually worthless and useless. You can pray for your children and your prayer will not be heard by God. And so they go to school without your prayerful protection. You want that? You pray and ask God for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that you can teach God's word. God says, I didn't hear you. I can't hear you. I will not hear you. I will not help you. And so you're going to teach based upon your own strength and your own notion and ideas. Once your relationship is right with God, he will be there holding your hand, helping you, guiding you every step of the way. Because the only way that we are not right with God is we are regarding iniquity in our heart, correct? Isn't it? When you don't study God's word, you do not know God's word, that's a sin. Why are you not eating your spiritual food on a daily basis? Just as you eat your physical food on a daily basis to keep your physical body healthy and strong and alive and active, why do you not do the same with your spiritual body? Did I not tell you that the word of God is milk and meat to all my children's hungry and thirsty soul? He did. So why are you not eating and drinking the word of God every day? And so you don't do it, you are sinning. And therefore, you do not know the God who is there to help you because you do not study the word of God to know him better. When you do not know someone, how do you love someone correctly? You always love the person by knowing the person. The more you know the person, the more you love the person correctly. Same with God. That's why you have to keep studying the Bible so that all these attitude toward God, tithing, possessions, family, service, and just evangelism will be lived and serviced according to Holy Scriptures with God's help, with the Holy Spirit filling you, leading you, guiding you, helping you. You will be a walking blessings that everybody would want in his life. Do you know that? When they have problems, they come to you, they know your counsel you give will be from God's word. They know what you advise them will be right and biblical. And if they do it and obey it, their life will be straightened and made right. Don't you want to be that to your family, to God's people in the church? God wants all of us to be like that. All you need to do is to spend priority time studying God's word. Seriously, priority time, not the time that falls down from the table like the crumbs of time. You did everything in the world, exhausted, tired, final 10 minutes. All right, let's read the Bible. And by the time you finish, you're half asleep. Do you want to treat God's word like that and expect God to bless you? When you treat him, time spent with him, hearing his voice, that's what it is. Every time you read God's word, you hear his voice as the least important in your life. When you are bright, cheery, alert, you do all the things of the world. When you should be doing all the things of God, which you did not prioritize. Spending time with him is reading God's word, hearing his voice. And when you do that, promise you, guarantee, your life in Christ would be transformed. And little by little, surely, you will be a walking blessing to everyone. It's up to you. It's your life. The Lord is waiting. Will you go to him? He will help you. He wants to. Don't you want to be a blessing to your children, to everyone in your life? He wants you to be like that. He wants to make you to be like that. But do you want him to make you to be like that? It has to be on his terms. And you cannot, and he will not, without God's word. Thank you very much.